You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Today, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Behind the Scene. And anyone of you here, who among you here, you like to watch movies? All right, okay. So there's plenty of people here who like to watch movies. And if you are a movie enthusiast like me, I'm sure this phrase behind the scene, something maybe is weird about it, but you're in a way familiar with it. And we're going to explain to you why it's termed like that or it's coined like that. But the term behind the scene, okay, is something that many of us are familiar with because we all know that great movies that we have watched in the past would not be possible if not for the countless men and women behind the scene making sure that that the raw footages are great and the editing is perfect. And so that is what it means, you know, when we say behind the scene. Now, I came across an article yesterday that says, interestingly, in the past 20 years, they made a study of the 1,000 most successful movies in Hollywood, and they analyzed, they studied, they asked, you know, how many people worked to make that work so that the movie could be a success. And so they found out that in the last 20 years of the 1,000 movies they surveyed, about 1,000 or between 1994 and 2003, there was about an average of 588 crew members to make one movie, okay, possible. In fact, they studied which ones had the most crew, okay, in those movies, and they found out that this is the list, okay? Iron Man 3, okay, is the top, it is the movie with the most crew to make that movie. How many of you have seen that Iron Man 3? Okay. Okay. Avatar is next. The Avengers is next. The Hobbit. I guess because these involve a lot of special effects group, or they involve a lot of editors. They involve a lot of makeup artists. That's why, you know, they have a lot of crew members. And the reason why, I mean, I'm a fan of Robert Downey Jr. Who among you are a fan also of Robert Downey? I like his movies. And, you know, he is good. But what makes him great as an actor is the people behind him. You know, they're able to make scenes like this. Imagine this, okay? To make it look like this. And so it's really the people behind them that make those movies great. And so our text for this series is in the book of Acts. And just like those movies, there are plenty of powerful stories in the book of Acts. Stories that would encourage us, stories that would, excite us. But I'm sure you all know that the reason why those things happened are not just because of the people that are showcased in those stories, like the apostles. In fact, as early as the second century, the book of Acts was termed as the Acts of the Apostles because it highlights Paul, Peter, John, and the other apostles, you know, Stephen, and it showcases their faith, showcases the mighty works that, you know, God did through them. But, you know, behind the scene of every miracle that they did, every powerful preaching that they were able to execute, behind the scene actually is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit empowering them to do those powerful deeds. And so some theologians would actually say it's more appropriate, instead of terming it the Acts of the Apostles, it would be more appropriate to term it Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so today in this series, we're going to be starting, you know, to talk about the Holy Spirit. And hopefully as we glean, you know, from the lessons, we're going to be looking at four powerful stories in the book of Acts. And as we look at those stories, I hope that we would learn to appreciate who the Holy Spirit is and what He does in us so that we can be more appreciative of Him, so that we can learn how to live lives dependent of the Holy Spirit, and so that we can experience His power as well daily in our lives. And so the book of Acts starts with this. In Acts chapter 1, it starts with a scene when Jesus ascended into heaven. And right before He ascended into heaven, He gave this instruction to His disciples. He said in verse 4, "And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." And so Jesus, here He was, after being resurrected from the dead, For 40 days, he spent time with his disciples. He kept on teaching them, instructing them. And imagine if you were one of his disciples. Imagine you experiencing, seeing firsthand Jesus dying on the cross. But not just dying on the cross. After 3 days, you witnessed firsthand that he also rose again from the dead. And so for 3 years, you were with him and you were hearing him teach about what's going to happen to him. You've heard his preachings, his miracles. And then you witness the most powerful miracle, perhaps, that you've witnessed, him being resurrected from the dead. I'm sure if you're one of his disciples, you will be very, very excited as well to tell people about him. It's kind of like probably a good movie that you've seen. If you've seen a good movie, you'll be very excited to recommend it to other people. The disciples, knowing what Jesus just did, in that time, they were very excited to preach to every person, every corner of Jerusalem and Israel at that time, to speak about the Lordship of Christ. But Jesus is saying, wait. Wait. I know you're excited, but excitement is not enough for the will and the purposes of God for your life. See, excitement is good, but what we need more than excitement is empowerment. And that is why he said to his disciples, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit, because after a few days, you will experience the Holy Spirit. After a few days, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, it goes on to say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was saying to his disciples, wait, because at the proper time, you will receive power. So important for us to understand what this power means. This power, if you look at the meaning of this word, it came from the Greek word dunamis. And that dunamis is where we got the word dynamite today, or dynamo today. I'm sure you're all familiar with dynamites and dynamo. But you know, in the olden times, in construction, before the advent of those power tools and those big machines that help man make construction easier, this is how they do it. If they want to construct roads, or if they want to build tunnels, what they would do is with their picks and also their mallets, perhaps, and also shovels, they would dig around mountains or dig through mountains so that they can make roads or tunnels. And so it would take them days, months. Some projects, I'm sure, would even take years, just because of the magnitude of the work. But then Nobel discovered dynamites and the power of it, and so it was used for construction. And so what they would do is they would stick these dynamites, they would drill holes, then put that, and they would set it up, detonate it, so that what used to take maybe 10 months or a year of work can now take a few days. See, that's the power behind the dynamite. See, I think that there is a parallel for us in how we live Christianity. See, God wants us to endeavor a lot of great things. God has given us a powerful mission. What is that mission? To share the gospel, not just here in the Philippines, but to every area, every continent of the world. That is a huge, huge mission. To share the gospel, not just in your community, but imagine that even in your offices. That is a huge, huge task. And you know what? We can choose to do it with our own shovels and picks alone. We can choose to do it in our own strength. But God is saying, my sons and daughters, wait. Because I want you to be empowered by my Holy Spirit. There is a difference when we do things just our own skills and our own strength. It's another thing. It's an entirely different thing when you do things with the Spirit of God. That is why God wants us to experience the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 19, verse 2, this is kind of sad. Some of the disciples, were encountered by Paul, and Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Growing up in this country, many of you perhaps know that we have a God, one God, but He exists in three persons: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to explain to you that. In fact, it's impossible for us to explain what the Trinity is. But we know that there is a Holy Spirit, that He is God. He is God. He is a person. And He is powerful. He was there in creation. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, when everything was created, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over all the earth, or over in the waters. You know, we know when Jesus was baptized in water, you know, he could have done things with power, the power of the deity that he is, or that the power as a deity. You know, he could have done all those miracles on his own, but yet as a demonstration to us, as his disciples, he demonstrated to us the need for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and in water. See, the Holy Spirit is there all throughout Scriptures, but yet here it is just so sad to note that some disciples have not even heard the Holy Spirit. Again, going back to my point, here in this country, we might be aware that there is a Holy Spirit, but the question is, are we experiencing the Holy Spirit? There's a difference between knowing who the Holy Spirit is and experiencing the Holy Spirit daily. There's a difference between knowing that God is for you, but there's also, it's another thing when you experience God's faithfulness in your life every single day through the Holy Spirit. And again, I believe that some of us here, you know, we are confronted with a lot of things, perhaps in our family, in our workplaces, perhaps in your communities, but God, I believe, is saying to you, my son, my daughter, I want my Spirit to be upon you every single day. As we have sang that song earlier, God wants every single one of us here to overflow with His Spirit every single day, to experience His power every single day. And so again, as we go through this series, I hope that you would be excited. I hope that you would be motivated and, you know, you would be inspired to every single day ask the Holy Spirit to reside in you, to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to be, for the remainder of our time, we're going to be looking at that first story that I was mentioning earlier. This is the story in Acts chapter 3. Just as a background, Acts chapter 3, this is the first miracle that was recorded post-Jesus' time. Okay? After Jesus' ascension, this was the very first miracle that was recorded in the book of Acts. And so in verse 1, it says there, now Peter and John were going up the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Powerful, powerful act that, you know, Peter did here in this scripture. Imagine that, you know, here, Peter going up to the temple, and he knew that there would be a lot of Pharisees there. He knew that there would be a lot of temple guards there, and yet here, he had the boldness to speak about Jesus Christ to that man. He had the boldness to speak about the power of God to heal to that lame man. And that is the first point that I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine again Peter. We all know Peter, you know, several months before this, or maybe 2 months before this, in Jesus, before he was crucified, we all know Peter as the one who denied Jesus Christ 3 times, right? And then, fast forward, like 40, 50 days, Peter, when everyone was filled in Acts chapter 1 and 2 of the Holy Spirit, Peter was the one who stood up and explained to the crowd who were wondering what was happening about Jesus Christ and that Jesus is the reason why we can be saved. And about 3,000 people got saved that day because of Peter's preaching. A few days after, it was this scene. In the temple, with many guards, with many people, with perhaps even the same people That, you know, that were instrumental to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Perhaps in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that scene? Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was being arrested. Temple guards were the one who arrested Jesus Christ. Could it be possible that some of those temple guards were there as well in the temple at that time? And perhaps as Peter and John were walking into the temple, they were seeing these guards again and they were being reminded of what happened in Gethsemane. But yet, instead of cowering down, instead of lying low, the Holy Spirit enabled them to be bold. And they were able to explain and proclaim to that lame man, Jesus of Nazareth can heal you. Jesus of Nazareth can heal you. God gives us the boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. Some of us here, we need boldness. Some of us here, I believe, you know, there have been many times that God has given you opportunities to speak about Him. What we lacked at those moments perhaps was boldness. You know, I was reminded of this story of testimony of one of our students from the University Belt, in our church in U Belt. He testified, and there was a video that was shown last Wednesday, and he said he used to be a former Satanist. Until someone from Victory U Belt invited him to church, and he kept going to church. He was curious about it, and so he went there for several times until it clicked. Something clicked in his mind. The reality of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ for us, penetrated his mind and also in his heart, and something changed inside of him. The Holy Spirit also, he was filled also with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When he had that experience with God, that same day he went to his family and he preached the whole one-to-one to his whole family that day. Parents, siblings, every single one of them heard the whole, imagine that, all 7 chapters of one-to-one. Out of his boldness and eagerness and excitement, he shared it to his family, and his whole family right now, they're all in church because of that former Satanist. That's what God can do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit on display. You know, there was also this man from church from here in Victory Fort, and 2 months ago, he attended Victory Weekend. And Victory Weekend is also a time wherein we believe that the Holy Spirit would fill us. You know, and after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, there was something inside of him that suddenly he was reminded of his family and his neighbors. And you know what he did? After that day, the evening of Victory Weekend, first day, he went to all his family and he started to preach about Jesus Christ to them, and they got saved as well. God gives us the boldness. If you have the Holy Spirit inside, and some of you, you need boldness, and I believe God wants you to ask Him. Ask Him for His Spirit, and He will give you the boldness that you need to proclaim Jesus Christ to whatever, you know, situation you're in. Verse 7, it goes on, after declaring that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that in His name we have healing, okay, or we can be healed. In verse 7, and He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Imagine that with me for a moment. This guy, the Bible says, for 40 years, he was lame. And not just that, he was crippled since birth. And perhaps this guy, he was so used to his situation that he goes to the temple not to ask for prayers to be healed, but he goes there just to ask for alms. And so imagine the faith of that man. His feet may be crippled, but his heart and faith also was crippled at that moment. And so you can imagine what happened when Peter and John looked him straight in his eye and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Lifted him up. If you can imagine it with me, as he was being pulled up, for the first time perhaps, he was being pulled up, and suddenly he felt something strange in his feet. Suddenly, strength that was not there before came to his feet, and he was able to stand. And the Bible says that he kept praising God after that because he got healed. See, second point is the Holy Spirit empowers us to do impossible things. Yes, he gives us boldness so that we can boldly proclaim Jesus Christ, but he also gives us abilities and power so that we can do the impossible things. The Bible says that the preaching of his word will be accompanied with signs and wonders. And so that is the power that is available for us through the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the unforgettable experiences that I have was about a decade ago. We were asked to go do a 10-day mission trip in Zamboanga City. Are you familiar with Zamboanga City? So we were there for a few days, and I think that was on our sixth day, as we were gathered in the center of Victory Zamboanga. You know, we were praising and worshiping God. There was one man who went inside the auditorium. He went straight to the pastors, and after the event, you know, the pastors introduced that guy to us. Apparently, this guy, he's actually a Muslim. And he's not just a Muslim, he is the head of, at that time, he was the head of the Muslim youth in Mindanao. He was the head then, and so he approached the pastors because few months before that, some of the pastors engaged him and shared the gospel to him, but he did not receive Jesus Christ yet then. And so, this moment, he went to the church and he approached the pastors. He told us that his grandmother, for 14 days now, is in coma in the hospital. And he's asking if we can go and pray for the grandmother. And so, the next morning, some of the team members that we have at that time, you know, we went to the hospital. And we met the guy, and when we met him, he brought us to the ICU. And then when we were there in the ICU, he pointed his grandmother, and when we looked at the grandmother, at that time she was already very skinny. And all these tubes are attached to her, all these machines are already attached because she has not woken up for 14 days. I kid you not, that was the most fearful time that I have. You know, I like praying for sick people, but at that moment I couldn't find the faith to pray for that woman. But you know what? It's not about our faith. It's not about us even. It's about who our God is and the power of God. And so by faith, we prayed a very simple prayer. We didn't pray those loud prayers in Jesus' name. We didn't pray those kinds of prayers. We just prayed, Lord, thank you that you're a God who heals. And Lord, we pray that this grandmother will wake up in Jesus' name. And then we left. Next day, we were all again in the center. And as we were there gathered, we were teaching some students. This guy again came rushing this time. He went rushing inside. And he asked us, can you go with me again to the hospital? Because my mother this morning woke up after 14 days. Grandmother. And so, what's even more amazing is when she woke up, that guy was there. The guy I was talking about, and some of his family members, they were all there as well. And when she woke up and she asked for water, this guy, realizing what just happened, started to stand in the middle of that room and said, do you know, grandmother, why you are awake today? It's because some Christians went here yesterday and prayed to Jesus that you wake up and you get healed. And that is why I want to preach to you about Jesus Christ. I mean, this Muslim guy started to preach about Jesus Christ to his family. That is the power. That power that happened 20 years ago, that power that was displayed, you know, in that beautiful gate, you know, 2,000 years ago, that same power is available for you and me today. How many of you want to experience that kind of power today? You want to experience, you know, praying for people to get healed, and they get healed. But you know, the purpose of that is not just for healing's sake. The purpose of signs and wonders is to point to something or someone. And that something or someone is Jesus Christ. Every time God does that for us, every time He moves through us, it is to point to Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in this story. Acts 3, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8, it says there, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. A few verses after this, we see Peter again having the boldness to preach to the people who were wondering and amazed what just happened. He preached about Jesus Christ again, about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, about the power of Jesus Christ to save. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, about 5,000 people got saved after he preached. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be bold and to do impossible things, and the Holy Spirit's work results in the praise of God. It results in the praise of God. I want to share with you one last story. I'd like to ask the music team to get ready and the keyboard player to come up. This is the story of one of our missionaries in Pakistan. Please don't take a picture or maybe tweet this. As you all know, Pakistan is a very, it's a restricted access nation. You can't just go in there and preach about Jesus Christ. They can actually, right from where you're standing preaching Jesus Christ, they can literally kill you on the spot if you preach Jesus Christ. And so one of our missionaries were asked to speak in a small church, in an underground church in Pakistan. And when he was there, he was preaching about the love of Jesus Christ. And the local pastor was interpreting for him. And so as he was preaching about the love of Jesus Christ, suddenly, was preaching, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. He realized that the speakers that were being used, some of the speakers were outside so that the people can hear. And so he was wondering, should I preach about Jesus Christ? Should I speak about God in the first place? But then he reasoned to himself, I'm just speaking God. I'm not saying any kind of God or any name of God. I can just say it's Allah that I'm preaching. But then the Holy Spirit prompted him. And the Holy Spirit said to him, instead of using God, why don't you speak Jesus? And so as he was prompted to do that, he paused for a while and said, is that you, Lord? It's my neck on the line here. But then he responded to the Holy Spirit's leading. And he preached about Jesus Christ. He preached to all those people there that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you so that you can be saved. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life so that you can have life eternal. And so after he preached that message, he asked everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. Some people, I think, even came up when they heard what he was preaching. And when he asked them to close their eyes and bow their heads, he asked, who among you here want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He was surprised that a majority of the crowd lifted up their hand and said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What's even amazing was when the pastor, the local pastor, was interviewing those people who got saved. One person said, I actually have fever for a week now. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, not only did he heal my heart, he also healed my fever. My fever is now gone. The other person said, I have back pains for quite some time now and I couldn't freely move. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, now I can move my back. The pain is now gone. And then there's this fragile lady who went to the stage and started to speak about her testimony. And it was in the local language of Pakistan. I think it's Urdu. It was in Urdu. And so she started to share her testimony in Urdu. And after a few words that she uttered, the people started to clap their hands really hard. It was a thunderous applause. And, you know, our missionary asked the pastor, what happened? Why the reaction to that lady's testimony? The pastor said, it's because that woman said, before she accepted Jesus Christ in her heart, she actually was mute. Now she can speak. And she was declaring to everyone that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals. I believe God deserves a hand for that. The Holy Spirit is at work Not just in the time of the apostles, but even today. God wants to use every single one of you here to bless the people around you, to bless your family, to share to your classmates or office mates about the love of Jesus Christ. I believe He's not just going to use your words. I believe He's going to use your prayers. I believe He's going to use your declarations. I believe God's going to use, as you lay hands on the sick, they will get healed. But that happens when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And guess what? It's not just a one-time thing. Every single day, we can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill me up to overflowing. I want to overflow with your presence. I want to end with this quote. This is a really interesting quote. This was from Henry Varley. And the person who made this popular was D.L. Moody, because this really radically transformed his life. And the quote goes like this: "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through a man fully yielded to Him. Will He find that man in you? Will He find your heart? Will He see your heart, your will?" Praying and seeing, saying to God, "Lord, I am fully yielding to You." Amen. Can we just all close our eyes and bow our heads? In fact, I'd like for us to all stand up. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You. God, Lord, that You've saved us. Thank You that You've forgiven us of our sins. Even, Lord, more than forgiveness and salvation, Lord, You've also given us a mission. You've given us a privilege, Lord, to be communicators of Your good news to people. Father, thank You that You also have given us Your Holy Spirit so that we can do the mission that You've given us to do. And so, Father, today, Lord, we thank You. Jesus, thank You. Through You and for You, Lord God, we have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Lord, we welcome You in this place. Father, I pray that You would bestow upon every single one of us here again the grace. Thank You that Your word says, ask. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That You are our good Father and You will not withhold the Holy Spirit if we ask. And so God, Lord, this morning, Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, fill us up once again. Fill us up once again, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.